Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These are the words with which the evangelist St. Mark opens his account of Christ. And this phrase is more than merely an opening verse. It is more than merely a point of departure, more than the first step of a long journey. Rather, this phrase is a title that governs the whole of Mark's account, and it is a title that ought to catch the reader off guard. For according to this title, Mark defines his own gospel account as merely a beginning. His gospel seems intentionally to be an unfinished symphony, an open-ended narrative. For St. Mark, the conclusion of the gospel remains for another to write, and the gospel awaits an ending of another's choosing. St. Mark's beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, offers no satisfactory conclusion. No inevitable outcome, no easy assurances, no predetermined fate, and especially no false optimism. Instead of happily ever after, St. Mark's ending is surprising and unexpected and full of marvelous ambiguity. It ends with women arriving at the tomb expecting to find a large and immovable stone. Instead, they find an open tomb. And in the place of a corpse, they find a young man dressed in white, preaching the resurrection. This final scene ends with the women retreating in the silence of fear and utter astonishment. It seems that St. Mark is one who delights in surprises. He is an author that relishes the unexpected turn of events, the unforeseen bend in the road. Such characteristics make Mark's gospel distinctive. For St. Matthew, Jesus is the one who fulfills the ancient scriptures. Jesus' road has already been mapped out by Moses. His life falls in line with prophetic expectations. However, St. Mark, the gospel of Christ, brings something unprecedented, something unexpected, something utterly new. Instead of fulfilling a long-awaited, long-expected joy, St. Mark preaches a Christ who surprises, who astonishes, who even confuses. And they were all amazed, St. Mark writes, and they said among themselves, "What is this, a new teaching?" Such is the reaction after Jesus' first miracle. And after Jesus forgives and heals the paralytic, St. Mark asserts that the crowds were ecstatic, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This seems to be the purpose of miracles in Mark's gospel. The miracles do not serve to prove the truthfulness of his teaching. They do not merely illustrate his divine power. They are not merely signs of his impending passion. Rather, for St. Mark, the miracles are already the beginning of his passion, the beginning of birth pains, the beginning of a dramatic clash between Christ and all the powers of hell. And for St. Mark, this battle, this contest, is destined to come down to a final play. St. Mark likes the Hail Mary pass, and even more, he likes one that finds its intended target. St. Mark likes astonishment. He likes the surprise that brings an unexpected outburst of joy. This outburst of unbridled joy is what St. Mark longs for. It is the substance of his hope. It is what he believes awaits the ending of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Astonishment, amazement, ecstatic surprise. Such words give shape and character to Mark's proclamation of Christ. And in Mark's gospel, there is perhaps no one more astonished and amazed at Jesus than the devil and his demons. In our text for this day, St. Mark tells us that whenever the unclean spirits saw him or perceived him, they fell before him, crying out, "You are the Son of God." What do these words mean? and with what kind of tone are they spoken? For St. Mark, the very words spoken by the Father at Jesus' baptism are now heard spilling forth from the demonic tongue. Surely this demonic confession testifies to the power and effectiveness of baptism. While men may in fact reject the words spoken over the water by the Father and give them no credence, the demonic world is bound by them. The demons must acknowledge them. They are compelled now to submit to them. The very words the Father speaks, the devil and his demons are now compelled to admit. The demons are like an echo. They are bound to reflect exactly what sounds forth from the Father. Thus, the demonic confession, "You are the Son of God," sounds forth in our text in fear and desperation and submission. However, there is perhaps something more to this demonic testimony. The cry of the unclean spirits does not just proceed from their fear and submission, but also perhaps from their surprise and utter astonishment. "You are the Son of God?" This admission perhaps contains a note of confusion, of disbelief, of amazement. The presence of Christ startles the demons. He catches them off guard. Christ's appearance finds the demons vulnerable and open to attack. And the source of their astonishment is not his power and authority as the Son of God. The cause of their confusion is not that they must submit before the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. This the demons fully expect. Rather, what startles and surprises the demonic world is that the power and authority of the Son of God is now found in the weakness and frailty of a flesh and blood man. For the demons, this is unexpected and unprecedented. This is new. They do not expect the authority of God himself to now sound forth from a human tongue. And they do not expect life and healing and regeneration to proceed from the touch of human flesh. And they do not expect the Son of God to actually submit himself to the profanity of mortal man's diseases and sicknesses and plagues. Indeed, the fact that in our text, the Son of God actually allows himself to be thronged, to be crushed, to be even afflicted by a diseased and repulsive humanity is absolutely unfathomable to the demonic mind. For the demons, the human race is merely the object of play, something to be possessed and controlled and dominated. Yet the Son of God comes not to possess man, but to set him free. He comes not to control, but to love, not to dominate, but to serve. And so the unclean spirits are astonished. They are astonished at the voluntary weakness of God, astonished at the divine dignity shown to mankind. They are astonished that this mortal man before them is in fact the Almighty Son of God. And yet such astonishment is not an unprecedented occurrence in the scriptures. In the beginning, Satan and his angels fall, not because they refuse to submit to God's power, but because they will not submit and serve the weakness of Adam and his children. Job's so-called friends surely believe in God, but they are utterly surprised that this God actually loves the poor, diseased beggar in front of them. Jacob's sons certainly believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they disdain the notion that this God actually favors the spoiled little brother named Joseph. And finally, Pharaoh is compelled to acknowledge the power of Moses' God, but he is utterly astonished that this God is actually on the side of Israel, that he loves and favors slaves. The demons are not surprised by God's power. They are surprised that his power is made perfect in human weakness. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ the Son of God. For St. Mark, the passion, the victory, the resurrection of Christ, these are only the beginning. The end of this gospel is now found in the life of the church. The perfection of the gospel is even now being written on the bodies of the baptized. It is being inscribed on your flesh and blood. It is on your very humanity that the final pages of this gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, are being written by the finger of the Holy Spirit. And dear friends, you can be sure that these final pages bear a delightful surprise. Indeed, what the demons are compelled and astonished to confess about Jesus in our text, they must now also testify concerning the baptized. You, dear friends, are the sons of God. These words may be said by demons in amazement and astonishment, but they must be confessed nonetheless. What the Father has spoken over the waters of your baptism, the demons are now forced to echo from the very depths of hell. And as the sons of God, we are those, along with St. Mark, who await a delightful bend in the road. We expect something unprecedented. We look forward to something new, the ending of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.